Amen. What a blessing. Wasn't that tremendous? That's the Martin sisters, and that was their first time to sing in church. They have been playing in the orchestra, and of course, they're a part of our church and a lot of ministries, and I appreciate them, and I appreciate that beautiful song. My goodness, what a beautiful song. Open your Bibles again to Exodus chapter 14. I'm going to preach one of the most simple sermons tonight, a simple sermon. But it just a truth that just struck me as such a blessing. And I thought, Lord, that sermon can be preached in two sentences. And some of you just looked at me and said, try it. But it can be preached in two sentences. It's a simple truth, but it blessed my heart. I'm giving the sermon this title, God Will Not Take Away Your Problems. God will not take away your problems. Our text passage is the most often told and referred to story in the Word of God, the parting of the Red Sea. There's so many details, and you could just talk through Exodus chapter 14 for a long, long time. There's so many little lessons to find and to apply to your life, and that's why reading the Word of God in the mornings and just letting God speak to your heart through all the little statements and truths and applications that are found in the Word of God. But I want to stick with that truth. God will not take away your problems. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless the preaching of your word. My heart's been blessed by the fellowship, by the presence of the Holy Spirit, by the good singing morning and evening, by the choir and the special singing, the musicians. Thank you so much for the privilege of being in this place. And now, Lord, I pray that you would bless in these next few minutes. I pray your will be accomplished. Let me be a blessing and a help with this simple truth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The children of Israel have left the land of Egypt and have started making their way toward the land of Canaan. It's interesting when you look at a map that marks their journey and how they went across that northern part of the Red Sea. Just outside of Egypt is the Red Sea, and between Egypt and the land of promise, it is right in the middle of their journey. The children of Israel were trapped, and they were trapped between the army of Pharaoh. That's a pretty rough to go back to. And can I tell you, you'll get in more trouble by going backwards than you will by just pressing on in the problem that you face today. You don't want to face Pharaoh's army. I'd rather go forward in victory. And so there was no way they could go back. And then, of course, before them was the Red Sea. And they faced a serious, serious problem. So many times in our lives, regardless of our Christian life, regardless of how close you are to God or how distant you may be from God, regardless of how long you've been saved, we all face problems and they come up on us so very quickly. These folks have been slaves in the land of Egypt. I don't think that they were expecting what they saw. I think Moses was aware of the Red Sea and what was coming up. But the children of Israel, this problem came up quickly. As I prayed for so many folks in church yesterday and today, and even, of course, during the week, but a lot this morning and this afternoon, I thought of this message and how it can help so many people. I hurt for young people who struggle in life. You're blessed if you have a Christian home. You're blessed if you have a Christian education. You're blessed to be in church. But even in that, you face it difficulties, decisions, and problems that come in your life, like the Red Sea posed as a problem for the children of Israel with the army of Pharaoh advancing and moving behind them. I think of young couples and the development of their marriage and the building of their families and all of the things that you face that seem to be a huge and a difficult problem. Adults and Christians of all ages face problems. Sometimes they seem impossible to overcome. And there's probably 12 or 15 folks tonight that just going through just a battle you just wish God would just take it away. He's probably not going to. He usually doesn't. He usually doesn't take our problems away, though that's our prayer. He usually doesn't take away our problems. I wish He would. And I join the Apostle Paul in praying for you and praying when we pray for our problems, Lord, could you just take this away? And as I prayed for many even today. Imagine the difficulty the children of Israel faced in the Red Sea. We read it and it goes by quickly, but now this is not a few minutes event. They're making that journey. There's a lot of people and they're traveling slowly and they're making that journey. And then at some point and sometimes somebody says, hey, did you know that there's a big body of water ahead of us? Somebody has to notify them and say, and there is no way over it or around it. Hey, we are being trapped. And at some point in some time, somebody announced to the people that the Red Sea was before them. And then somebody had to report, and by the way, Pharaoh's army is closing in behind us. That's the way problems usually come, one behind, one in front, and we feel like we're being crushed. And that's just the way life is. That's the way problems are. And so that's what's going on here. It's interesting how when you read the story and find the little details, for example, when they come to the Red Sea, God, the Bible says, He leaves from before them and He goes behind them. And He takes that pillar of cloud and he hides them with that pillar of cloud with the army behind them and they're in front of that cloud. So God is not only our leader, He is our reward. And that's a Bible word. I'm glad He goes before me, but I'm glad He goes behind me too. And so He is behind them and they get to this water. And when you read the scripture, you'll find that the east wind began to blow and it blew all night long. And from what I can understand, the water just kept piling up higher and higher and higher. And I don't know about you, but it would have taken an army chasing me to just go across on dry land. I mean, you got a body of water that's high on each side. I don't know how much the wind blew, but just the wind itself could cause anxiety. Think about how much wind had to blow. Just when a lake or when a creek bed or a river bed, when the water recedes, it leaves a muddy bank beside it. It's hard to walk in, but they didn't walk in any mud. They walked on dry land, so you got a lot of wind moving through. So you got an army behind you. You got a wind that's blowing like they've never felt before. I mean, they're just trapped out there, and the water, it's not out here before them, but it keeps getting higher and higher and higher, and God raises up those walls of water, and eventually they walk through on dry land. Some of the details I thought were funny by the way, what they knew and what God knew was two different things, and that's always the case. I don't always know what God knows, but I'm glad to know that He knows what I don't know. They didn't know that God was going to cause Pharaoh to be so angry that he decided to chase them across that body of water, across that dry land. They didn't know that, but God hardened his heart. And by the way, we need to be careful about letting our anger and feelings lead us. They'll get you drowned. They get you in trouble. But about the time they get in there, and I love this, and I'll just read what God says, verse 25, and took off their chariot wheels. That's what God did. Just when you think the enemy is so strong there's no stopping them, God takes the wheels off the chariots. God can work fast, can He? And He does when it seems that there's no hope. He took off the chariot wheels that they drave them heavily. I imagine so. Can you imagine going home tonight on four flats? So the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. I love that phrase, and that's what I pray for. And I believe that revival can take place in our nation, and I believe, and one of the things that caused me to read this story again was the fact of God getting involved. When God gets involved, big things happen fast. Big things happen fast. And I tell God, you need to work fast because we're in big trouble. We got the Egyptians behind us, and we got the Red Sea before us, and we're trapped in between, and that land up between there is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Now again, I'm glad I don't know everything God knows, but I'm glad I know that He knows everything. He had the heart of Pharaoh in his hand. Old Pharaoh gets so mad, he said, well, fellas, just chase them right down in there. Just go after them. And they go down in there, and God just comes down and takes the lug nuts off. They're stuck. Now they're trying to run away, and they can't even get away. It's interesting when you read the account of how when the water came back, that the children of Israel, they didn't keep running. When they got to the other side, they stopped and looked back, see what was going on. And they watched, Pharaoh and his army and the chariots and the horses. They watched them drown, and they watched them float upon the bank. They saw what God can do. Sometimes it looks like we're a part of the ruins, but when God's in control, friend, the enemy, and you read that book right there, we're reminded again and again that God can cut them down like grass. That's why we need to continually have faith in God. That's why we continually need to listen and obey God. Here's the message. God did not remove the problem, but He made a way through it. God did not remove the problem, but He made a way through it. That's the message tonight. God did not remove the problem. He's probably not going to remove the problem that you face right now. He's probably not going to. He typically doesn't. What's interesting, God is usually the problem causer. And we ask God to take away what God has done. God usually doesn't take away the problem, but He does make a way through it. God did not remove or dry up the Red Sea. He parted it, and He made a way through. God seldom ever removes any problems in the Bible. And when you take this thought, you take this truth, and you begin to march it through the Scripture, you'll find again and again that God never takes away the problem. He just makes a way through. And every time He makes a way through, it is a matter of our just having faith and obedience in Him. So tonight, the answer for this week, tomorrow morning, is to get up and read the Word of God and say, I believe it, and I'm going to obey it. I trust God. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for the day is mine all the way, and all I need for tomorrow, just keep trusting in God. I don't think we can take away the fear from seeing the high walls of water. I don't think we can take away the anxiety of hearing the noise of the high winds that have been blowing all night long. I don't think that we can take away the fear of knowing that Pharaoh's army is behind me, knowing the strength and power and the ability of that army. I don't think there's any way to take away that fear. So listen to me tonight. When that fear comes, let's do as the psalmist said, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee. Let fear become a strength in your life. And when difficulties come, let's not waste our time in complaining. Let's not waste our time in griping. By the way, that's exactly what the majority did. The majority complained. You want to be careful about following the majority. The majority will get you drowned, or they'll get you killed by the enemy. Don't follow the majority. Let's do what's right to do. The majority came to Moses and they said, did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Did you bring us out here to drown? Don't listen to the majority. Don't listen to the commentaries. They're called commentators for a reason. They're commentators. Believe what the Word of God says. follow what God says. Looking back over 38 years of ministry, you looking back over your years as a Christian, there have been many times of high walls of water. There have been many times when there have been trials on both sides, trials in front and trials behind. There have been many times that the enemy been pursuing, and yet God has led us to victory after victory after victory. Tonight, after all these years, here we are in the sixth building since 1991, and God's been mighty good to us, and there is absolutely no way I could have even imagined, let alone planned, all that God has done. I think of the college ministry, and I think of all of the difficulties that and that we faced, and they're not over. We need tonight nearly $1 million to remodel our dormitory rooms at the college. But we've been there. We've been there. We live there because we're moving forward in the work of God. I can't find a place to stop and rest. The world is still in need of the gospel, and folks are still in need of the love of Christ. I can't find a place to stop and rest, so we keep pressing forward. And when I look back and see how God has led us this far, I conclude, as the song says, His grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. You know, this fall, this coming fall, will begin the 25th year at Commonwealth Baptist College. That's hard to believe. I'm 39, and that thing's been going on 25 years, 59. Did I say 39? And I'm wishing out loud. 25 years. We've had some mighty good young ladies and young men serve God, receiving their training and preparing for ministry at Commonwealth. I think of this property. I walk on it every day just praising God and just looking at what a miracle. And all of the stories and all of the times that we face so many problems. And I said every time, Lord, would you take away this problem? He never has, but He's always led us through the problem. He's never taken away the problem, but He's always led us through. I look forward to camp. We're nearly 20 years in the camping ministry, and God's been so mighty good to us. And we faced so many difficulties, and God's never taken away the problem, but He's led us through every single one. God never takes away, by the way, the temptations of life. Look at me. God's not going to take away the temptations of life. Did you hear what I said? God's not going to take them away. We're told to run from them. Flee temptation. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, talking about the trying of your faith, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Let me show you that verse, and that may be a verse that you can carry with you this week that'll help you. You probably have it marked in your Bible if you're carrying a Bible that's very many years old. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Notice God doesn't say, I'll take away this temptation. I'll take away this trying of your faith. He doesn't do that. God doesn't take away the problem. God gives us the grace to go through the problem. He makes a way through it. And sometimes when we ask God to take it away and He doesn't, we gripe and complain and we say, God, it's not right. But God knows what He's doing as He guides us through the difficulties of life. God didn't take away the temptation of the three Hebrew children. He just told them, you're not supposed to bow to other gods. Listen to me. God's not going to take away the temptation around us. But He says, don't bow, have no other gods before me. God did not remove the other nations that were heathen, that did not believe in Him, that did not obey Him. God didn't take them away, but He told Israel to decide to love Him and obey Him. And I want to say tonight, God's not going to take away this world of temptation, but we're supposed to walk, as Titus says, even in this wicked world, clean and right and holy, and we're supposed to live right in this wicked world. It don't take away the problem, but it gives us the grace to go through it. God didn't take away the temptation from Samson. Samson was supposed to flee the temptation and obey God. God didn't take away the temptation from David. David should have been in battle with his men, but he was not. He was in the wrong place. God didn't take away the temptation, but God gives us the ability and gives us the instruction to go through the difficulties of life. And we sometimes think, well, God's supposed to take away all the problems. He doesn't take away the problems, but he gives us the grace and the strength to go through the problems. Young ladies, young men, listen to me now. There is a natural desire, a God-given desire that a young man and a young lady have for one another. That's God-given. There's no sin in that all, but listen to me. That must be controlled. That must be kept in time. That must be kept in tune with the leading of the Holy Spirit. God's not going to take that away. God has given us that. God gave that to you. That is a good thing. Oh, but we need to follow the instruction and we need to guard our eyes and our ears, guard our behavior, guard our purity so that we can enjoy what God has for us. Somehow we think that God is supposed to take away all of our problems. He doesn't take away the problem. He just helps us to go through the difficulties of life. Paul's life was one of trials and difficulties over and over. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and look how Paul described his life beginning in verse number 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There are folks tonight facing sicknesses and cancer and surgeries and questions. And yes, we pray as Paul did, Lord, will you please take this away? God seldom ever takes away a problem, but he gives us the ability to go through that difficulty. Notice 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Do you see that? Look at verse number 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Look at verse 12. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Paul is saying, I am giving my life. I am dying to self that you might have eternal life. You see, if God took away all of my problems, I would not trust in him. If God took away all of my problems, I would not pray to him. If God took away all the difficulty, I'd never have fear. But because of fear and because of the burdens and because of the difficulties, I say, oh God, I need your help. That's the very best place that any Christian can be, hungering for the blessings of God, hungering for the wisdom of God, hungering for the strength of God. That's when we're at our best, when our weakness has come. His strength is made perfect in that. And as Christ lived on this earth through those difficulties, manifesting God's will in his life, we too go through those things. Why? So that others may know life in and through Christ. Walk through the Bible and see how many times the prayer was to take away the problem and find that God never took away the problem. He only made a way through it. God didn't take away the lions, but God took Daniel through the lion's den. God didn't take away the opposition when Nehemiah was leading the people to rebuild the walls around the city. God did not take away the Sanballats and the Tobias. Oh, but God gave Nehemiah the wisdom and the strength to keep pressing on. And it was those problems that caused Nehemiah to trust in God. Do we see it tonight? Yes, sometimes it seems best if God would take away the problem, but He seldom takes away the problem. He always helps us to go through it. Ezra faced difficulties in rebuilding the temple. You read through the New Testament and the local church, and you'll find the opposition is endless. Peter is in prison. James is beheaded. False teachers and doctrine constantly coming in. And all of the difficulties that they faced, and yet the very end result is multitudes coming to Christ as Savior and the gospel being heard around the known world of that time. They may have thought, well, if we get rid of Stephen, we'll get rid of a powerful preacher. But all they did was multiply the cause and the work of Christ. For it was Stephen's death that they took his clothes and they laid them at that young man's feet, Saul of Tarsus. And God no doubt used that to bring a conviction in his life. Because on the Damascus road, he said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Conviction and leading and guiding of God had already started in his life. It didn't start on the Damascus road. I contend that it began back yonder, and maybe even before the death of Stephen. You see, opposition is what drives the child of God to have faith in God. And our faith gives us strength from God. It doesn't take away the problem, but it takes us through it. When God saved me, He took away my sins, but I kept my biggest problem, me. When He saved me and took away my sin, but I kept my biggest problem, me, I am still in a sin-cursed body. Galatians chapter 5 tells us the manifestations of the flesh and tells us the manifestations of the Spirit, and He tells us what we ought to do, and He says, so that you cannot do that you would. I can't do what this flesh wants to do. I have to crucify this flesh and yield it to the Holy Spirit. Oh, it would have been better if God had given me the glorified body. No, that's what I think. But the Lord Jesus gave us an example living on this earth, living in the power and faith of the Holy Spirit, and I'm supposed to follow in His steps. By the way, this wasn't the only body of water the children of Israel faced. Later, the children of Israel, they get to the edge of Canaan, and here is yet another river flowing that separates them from the promise God has given them. The Jordan River. It's interesting what He says about the Jordan River. When they got to the Red Sea, God parted the waters, and as I understand it, the only place they walked was dry ground. It was dry all the time. But in the Jordan River, they had to actually step into the water. And that water was up on their legs. And it wasn't until by faith they had obeyed Him in the problems that God parted those waters and they received the promise that God has given to them. So let's not live our life in complaining about the problem. Mr. Bill Harvey wrote the song, "Why Complain About the Problem?" Rejoice in the opportunity. You have a chance to grow in grace. Take hold of responsibility. The reward is worth the suffering. There's glory some sweet day. Praise God for the problem that's on the way. I say six things in 60 seconds. Let our fear cause us to trust in God. Let our fear cause us to trust in God. What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in Him. Number two, let our prayer cry out to God for mercy and grace and wisdom. You know, a lot of times we waste time making suggestions when what we ought to do is tell God, God, I just need your help. You know the best way through. Number three, we ought to have faith in the promises of God. I can't have faith in a promise if I don't know what it is. That's why I need to open the Word of God and find the promises that I can claim. And I need to store them up, for I don't know what problems are ahead. That promise will take me through. Number four, I need to be obedient to His command, even if it doesn't make any sense. Just obey Him because God said to do it. Number five, wait on God's timing. Wait on God's timing. So many times we want to do what's right, but we mess up because of the timing. Some things high school students need to wait for. Some things college students need to wait for. You say, but it's so hard. I got news for you. It doesn't change at 59. There's so many things that you're always saying, God, in your timing. I want the answer now. In God's timing, wait on God's timing. Number six, all of this happens while I'm being chased by the enemy and the problem is before me. All of these things happen in the time of trouble. Stand with me tonight. God's not going to take away our problem. Ah, but thank God. Thank God He's going to lead me through it. Heavenly Father, I pray for those tonight that are going through a difficult valley. Some I have prayed with in this day. Some I have communicated with by way of text message. Some are at home tonight. They don't want to be at home. They want to be at church.